So we looked at one pretty carefully, and we looked at two, I think, semi-carefully. Good timing.
Perfect.
The only thing two had to offer was that I went in and had another loop where I found out if they existed as a manager. Okay. So I filled the manager table, and then I came down and I closed the first cursor and opened the second cursor. And then I went through and tried to find out if the person was a manager. So I had the two cursors up here. Okay, one only had manager ID, because that's all I wanted to get was fill up the table with manager ID. And there's that sound again. The other one had select employee ID and salary. Okay, and I want to update the salary. So cursor 2 is selecting employee ID and salary. And so with cursor 2, I fetch employee from from the cursor 2. There we have it. I fetch, and I set the found flag to false, the loop count to 1, and I go through, and this time I am looking for an employee ID that matches a manager ID. So I'm stepping through the manager table. I'm stepping through the manager table that I just created, looking to see if the employee I just read matches the manager, is a manager. Okay, so I've got the manager table. I'm stepping through to see if the employee is a manager. And if he is, or she is, then I set the found flag to true. Okay? And I get out of the loop. If they're not yet, I add one to loop count so I can look at the next. And then I eventually end the loop. Okay? And I end the loop when I've checked everything, which is the loop count is less than or equal to the count of how many are in the table. That keeps me going. When that's not true, then I get out. Okay, so I'm keeping going while the loop count is less than or equal to the count in the table. So that will get me through the whole thing. But if I find a match, there's no sense in continuing, so I exit. Okay, so as soon as I find a match, there's no sense in continuing, and I exit out of this. And when I exit out, just before I leave, I set the found flag to true. So then I come down, and the true means they're a manager, and so they're getting a 1.1%, and others are getting a 1.02%. Okay. And then I'm updating and changing the salary for the current record that I'm currently in, because I had the update clause up there on the cursor, which held it for an update. Okay, so I had the update clause up on the cursor, which held the information for an update so that other people couldn't work on it at the same time. Okay, so does that one make sense?
Yeah, I think that's one of the homeworks you had to use to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I think, except for one of the homeworks, I think we actually had to do two different cursors. Or at least I know I used it for one, that's the only one.
And when you've got, when you've got two cursors, you have, this one happens to use two cursors because I wanted to do two totally different things in the same program. Mm-hmm. So I have one cursor that let me make the manager table, and another cursor that let me use, go through the file and use the employees and update the salary. Lots of times when you've got two cursors, it's like that one that I asked you to write with inventory and transactions, where you have a master file and you have a transaction file. And so you have a cursor to hold the master and a cursor to hold the transactions. Actually, let me go back. I think that was actually... Yeah. So on this one, I have drive and donation. Okay, so I set up one cursor that handles the drive table, and I set up another cursor that handles the donation table. And I can then read from each one as I want. What I did here is I read a drive, and then I went down and I read all of the records that had that drive from the transaction table, from the donation table. Okay, now the alternate way to do that would be to have one cursor and have them join on the IDs. Okay, so I would have one cursor and say from drive, drive comma donation, where, and put in a where clause to join them. So the drive number is equal to the drive number. So there's other examples where you can have, and I did that. So this is using two different cursors. And then if you go back, and this is a little sidetrack, but anyway. I think it's that one, but we will find out. And I did not mean to open it in Web Matrix, but there we go. Yeah, so on this one is where I have a cursor where I said select da-da-da-da-da-da from two files and link them together based on the major code, okay? So I could have done two separate cursors for each file, or I can join them together and say I want to process all the information together, and so that's what the cursor is. You know, I've got the major code, the grade, the student, and the number of credits from these two tables. So it took the information from the two tables and based it on major code so that I have the two information. So if you would like to work with both, you can do that and set up a join, basically. I didn't use the join version, I used the where version, but join the two. Or you can set up two separate. Done that again, did I? Okay, in this one I have the two separate. But again, I am dealing with ID number, so depending on what I want to do, I can have the select ID name and hours worked from pay data, pay tran, where the ID numbers are on both of them. Okay, where I have the ID number on both. So where I have pay data one ID equal to our pay tran one ID. So I can do it that way. So now I'm back to what I was looking at. Okay, so on number three in this one, I'm using the for statement. And the for statement is kind of interesting. It automates things. So you don't open the cursor, you just declare the cursor. So I've declared the cursor, okay? And I've got two cursors just like I had before. But with the for loop, You don't open the cursor, you don't close the cursor, and you don't have a fetch. So the for statement automates those three things, and you don't have a fetch with the for statement. Okay, so I said, in the for statement, I said, for V employee data one in C employee one. So that tells me that I'm using the first cursor, and it is using V employee data one, and it will move through V employee data one. Okay, so it is going through the cursor and moving, no fetch, no open, just going through the cursor. And if you go down and look at it, it refers to the data when I'm working with the data. The employee data one, which is the name there, and then I have to say manager ID. So I have to put in manager ID. Okay? So, but I have to tell it where to get manager ID. So I'm saying here, V employee data one in C employee one loop. Okay? And then when I come down and I want to test it, I refer to the manager ID, which is in V employee data one. And if you look at up here, C employee one has the manager ID. Okay, so the cursor C employee one has manager ID. I am relating V employee data in one to that cursor and saying that's how I'm going to refer to things in that cursor. And so rather than just have manager ID down here, I have to say V employee data one dot manager ID. And that's what I have to do when I'm using the for statement. Okay. The logic of this is basically the same. Okay. But every time I refer to manager ID, I have to refer to that name that I gave it up here when I said V employee data one in C employee one. And I have to refer to that so that it knows what I'm talking about. Okay. And then on the next one, when I went to work with it, I've got V employee data two is in the cursor C employee two. And so when I refer to the data in that cursor, I have to say the employee data 2 dot employee ID. Okay? And when I go to use the salary, I am also referring to it. Okay, so V employee data 2 dot salary. So when I do the for, I get rid of the open, the close, and the fetch, but I establish this V employee data two, which is in C employee two, in that cursor. So when I am going through it, I refer to that, I think of it as a record. So I'm referring to the record, the current record, and I have the employee data 2 dot employee ID, which is going to get me the employee ID in the current record. Okay. Okay, and it says here, if you look down, this reading isn't half bad, by the way. You might actually try it. Okay. It says down here, the logic in this program has changed because the cursor for loop is used. Okay, notice there are no open, close, or fetch. The cursor for loop automates the handling of those commands. The syntax of the for loop is the for, followed by the record name, which is the name of the implicitly declared record. So that means I didn't actually declare this anyplace else, and I didn't lay out what was in it. It's implicitly as opposed to explicitly, which means it got whatever I put there is going to be how it's going to call the record. But because it's implicitly defined, when I do it, I have to give the name, that name, and then dot the field name. Okay?
So, you didn't actually initialize employee data 2.
Right.
And you had to, prior to employee data 2.
That's just me.
Just wanted to make sure. All right, so yeah. It just has to, you can call it directly. It can call the table directly using the for loop.
Call the...
Like you can pull up the...
Table or the cursor.
The cursor.
The contents of the cursor.
Yeah, the contents of the cursor.
Yeah, it's going in and getting... Think of this as the whole cursor, the collection of records, and think of that as the individual record that I'm currently processing. And the for loop doesn't need a fetch because it moves through each record as it goes. It automatically moves through each record as it goes. And the record that it's currently on, at least that's the way I think of it, the record that it's currently on is V employee data 2. And when I want to talk about a field on that, because it's implicitly defined as opposed to explicitly, I give the name and then I say, but I want the manager ID. And when you define the cursor itself, you did put in the manager ID. So I said manager ID, that cursor is going to have a whole list of manager IDs. But for some reason, when they do the implicit definition, they say, okay, you gotta give the name up there, and then the dot field name. Okay? So if you use the for loop, you have to do this. If you don't use the for loop, the cursor for loop, then you don't have to do it. Questions. And again, down here, I've got the V employee data 2 dot employee ID, V employee data 2 dot salary. And those are the two fields that I put in the cursor when I define the cursor. Okay. Something made sense. What?
What it's doing? Is this kind of a light bulb turned on?
That's great. Yeah. I love those light bulbs. And they also point out in the notes, or I also point out in the notes down there, that the while loop has two conditions on it. I'm saying do this while the loop count is less than or equal to the manager count, meaning I can still find a record, and the found flag is false. Okay? The previous version of this had the exit. So when I found it, I set the flag to true and I exited. Now when I go back, I'm checking and saying, if the found flag is false, I don't want to do this again. So I'm not going to do the loop again. I'll just drop out. Okay? So if the found flag is false, then, okay, so down here I set it to true, and that means that I will get out. I will not do it again if the found flag is false. Thank you. So I think that the little paragraph down here says everything I've been saying, but you should take a look at that paragraph. Okay, the fourth one is only using one cursor, and it's organizing the things in a way such that I can do that. And it's probably a better way of writing it. But then I wouldn't have gotten to play, and I wanted to kind of play. So this one is probably a better writing if you're going to use it. If you're going to use the for loop. So I set up a cursor, and I said, select the employee ID, the salary, and the manager ID from the table. Order by manager ID. Okay? So that means I put all of the manager IDs together. So ordering it by manager ID means that, number one, the manager IDs are in order going up. And number two, it means that they're all together. Okay? So that gives me, because they're all together, they're not just mixed around the way we did it in the first one. The manager IDs were mixed around, which is why I needed to set up the table. So this one, they're all together, so I'm putting things in the table. I can put them in sequence, and so I can just check and say, is this manager ID equal to the last one that I put in the table? Okay, so if I've got all the manager IDs, I can, and so, okay. I have, let's see, and I don't have the pens with me. I have 112 was a manager ID. So I put 112 in the table. Then the next one may have a 112. Well, it's already in the table. The next one may have a 112. Well, it's already in the table. Then the next one has a 115. I don't have to check everything in the table. I can just look at the last thing in the table because they're in order. And if the 115 isn't equal to the 112, then I put it in the table. Okay? So if you come down here and I go through this for employee data 2, in C employee 1, I set the farm flag. I'm sorry, I should go back up and build the table. I was looking at the other. For employee data 1, okay, so I am setting this up, and I am going to say if the V manager count equals 0. So if I don't have anything in the table, I need to put it in the table. Whatever's first, the first record, the manager ID is going to go in the table. Remember, these are in order by manager ID. The first record is going to go in the table because there's nothing in the table. So I'm saying if the count is 0 or the manager ID is not equal to the last thing in the table, then put it in. Okay? So if the count is 0, that covers the first circumstance, or the manager ID is not equal to the last one in the table. So again, if I read 115 and the last one was in the table was 112, they're not equal, I want to put it in. But if I read another 112, I don't want to put it in. So I'm saying if it's not equal, then put it in. Okay? So there's the cursor, and I'm putting it in. And then when I come down to the next one, actually I should take a picture of the cursor. Now I've got the table filled, and I need to check and see if it's a manager, and I'm referring to that as a different name, the employee data 2. I probably could have called it 1, but I was doing a second function, so I called it a 2, so it matched better with the one that I've done before. And so I said, while the loop count is less than or equal to the count in the table, and the found flag is false, which is the same thing in I had in the other one. Check and figure out whether they're a manager or not. So this is really the same code as I had in the other one, except that I put it all in one cursor, and so it's re-looking at that cursor. Okay. Now notice I didn't close the cursor, but yet I'm using it again. And the reason is that I put in the for loop again. So the for cursor loop is there again, so it then restarts. Okay. And I'm calling this one employee data 2, and so it's employee data 2 dot employee ID. Employee data 2 dot salary. So the big difference here was in creating the table, I didn't have to go through the whole thing every time. I just had to check and see if the previous thing, if it matched the previous thing, because everything was in order. Questions?
Did I miss anything in the first 15 minutes? I apologize.
You didn't miss anything for the first 10 because we were getting organized.
Okay, all right. My landlord was giving me crap, so.
That's all right. No need to share, especially through the tape recorder. Okay. So, that is the cursor examples. And I could do a lot more with cursors, but we hit these at a limited time frame, so there's other things that we have to get through. But if you're interested in databases and all that, you should get yourself a book on PLSQL if you're interested in this and want to have it and go one step further. In the summer, you have nothing else to do. Come on.
I'll have something. I'll figure something out.
So that really gets through something the cursors. So we're going to look at a few more things on cursors that I wanted to point out, and then we're going to look at exceptions. I forgot that we hadn't done record and table types, so we'll do that next Tuesday. I just was moving ahead and put exceptions in next, which is fine. And we'll go back and look at record and table types because I don't want to do it now because I have an example at home that I want to bring in. I want to put up, rather. And so we're going to just remember. But remind me that we're going to do that because it's the one that I skipped.
Which week was the catch-up week again? Just asking for it.
Thanksgiving.
Oh, sweet. Next week.
You get a half a week. Which, by the way, reminds me, November 27th, which is two Tuesdays away, I have a group of people coming in and talking about careers and everything. And there are some different ones than you've seen before. So if you're free at either 11 or 12:30, I think it's worth coming to.
Yeah, definitely. Hope they got their notes ready because I'm going to have questions.
That's good. And, you know, do come to it because, and I'll post it on my site, but do come to it. It's November 27th, and it's at either one of the classes. And it's just a good one. It's good to come and ask them questions and talk to them. And I keep meaning to do it early in the semester before the numbers haven't gone down. Okay.
At least when you do it, you know the people that do show up are kind of committed.
That's true. Okay, so I want to look at these last ones I didn't look at in the cursor. If you go back to my homepage for CIS 150, those donor cursor ones we didn't get a chance to look at. And those are only going to take a minute because they're really just talking about the setup of the cursor. So on this one, I have select state, contact, some year goal from donor. And I said, group by state and contact, having some year goal greater than select average year goal from donor. So that's your standard group by with havings in it, and it's a subquery in it and all that, and you can put all that in just fine. In other words, the cursor can be as complex as you want. So you can get, what this gives you is I can select a very select small group from my big database. And then I've got the added advantage of I can now use the fetch to step through each of those records individually. Okay, but I can really weed out the records that are going to go in the cursor by using a fairly complex select that gets me exactly what I want. Okay, and then I can step through those. And I didn't weed them out further, I just stepped through and wrote them out. Okay, but if I wanted to, I could have had after the fetches, or after the first fetch inside the wild loop, I could have done processing that I wanted to do on the records that I selected. Okay. And the second one is pretty similar, actually. Doesn't it look? Okay, I have a select in there. So I can actually have a select average goal into. So I have a total that I've selected. So I said, okay, now go back to that file and select the average goal into the year goal average if I wanted to do something with it. And then the third one, I have this kind where I said, select all those fields where contact is in and or contact is in, and I could have had an and there. But again, the point of these little quickies was to show you that you can get a very sophisticated select into the cursor. And then you only get very specific records that you need to process when you go down to process them. And the only processing I did was just printing them out. And then the last one on this is a decode. So I said select city year goal, decode the city. If it's Seekonk, I want to do this. If it's Providence, I want to do this. If it's Fall River, I want to do this. Remember, the decode is the closest thing you get to an if statement within the select, because the decode really does say, if the city is Seekonk, do this. If the city is Providence, do this. And so I have an if statement in there. And so I'm really doing a whole lot of processing in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of like a lot of steps.
Yeah.
Using that.
And then if I wanted to do something else down below, I could, but in this case, I just wrote them out. So the point is, you can have a very sophisticated thing going on there. So now we're going to go up and look at exceptions. Okay. If you go back to the very first handout on PLSQL, and you don't have to do it, but I'm going to, it told you that PLSQL is written in a block structure, and the structure of the block is the player, which was optional, the begin, which was required, exception, which is optional, and end, which is required. Okay, so we've been looking at declare, begin, and end all along, but now we're adding the optional exception. Okay, So that's what, where exception fits into the big picture. So introduction to exceptions. And there's three kinds of exceptions, basically. One of them is there are predefined oracle errors. Cursor already open, duplicate value on index, invalid cursor, invalid number, all of those. They have very specific errors that are predefined. So if I come down here and I said, okay, declare an ID, declare your goal, select those into whatever, where ID number is greater than 77777, okay? Now, if you look down just a little bit below this, you'll see the data, and there is nothing that is greater than 77777, okay? So where ID is greater than, in this example, we're going to come out with the fact that this isn't going to work. Okay? Because there aren't any greater than 7777, so it can't extract them, so it can't select them. Okay? So I have exceptions, and I've set up some of these predefined exceptions. So I've said, when too many rows. So if I get an error that says too many rows, then I write out my own message and I can include all kinds of processing in here. I just wrote out my own message. And my own message said multiple rows meet criteria. When no data found. So this particular select is going to fall into that category because I said select everything where the ID is greater than 7777, nothing matches, so I'm going to get the no data found. And again, I can put any processing I want to in there. I just had it write out not a valid ID. And then you have the when others, and the others you put in as a safety net in case it finds something else. And I wrote down undefined error occurred as my other. So when I ran this,
not a valid ID.
I got not a valid ID number. Okay, so I could have put a better message in there probably, but I put not a valid ID number because I wasn't able to find anything greater than that, so it didn't select it. Looking at that, that could have been a better message. But the message I got was the one for no data found, and that's the valid message.
So if you did, if your goal equaled, like, greater than 600, then you would have multiple.
Well, I did. The very next one, I did the multiple.
So, well, let me let you get to that.
Okay, so mine was here. Where ID is less than 7777. Okay, so I'm selecting all of those, and I can't do that without a cursor. I don't have a cursor here. So I can't select multiple records and process them unless I'm going to process them through the cursor. And so the where it gives me too many records, and so I get the multiple rows meet criteria error. Okay, and that's the error that I would get. Actually, take that and take out the exceptions and see what you get. This is using donor new, and I think I have donor new.
Take out the exceptions?
Yeah, and see whatever you get. Because I don't remember. So I'm going to say edit test one. Let's see if I've got a test one. Nope. So I'm just going to take out all of the exceptions.
Yeah, so I did that and get a lot of errors.
File, save, file.
It has a problem with declare unknown commands.
Really?
Identifier.
File, exit if I saved. And I'm going to do @ test one. That's the only one I got.
So that's crazy. I literally took out what you took out, but I got more errors than you did.
Do you have a donor new?
I changed it to just donor table.
Okay. I don't know.
But I got the same declared error you got.
Okay. That was...
Yeah, no, I got the same error. It's the donor new. You changed the donor, but there's also the donor from...
Okay. It just doesn't like you.
I swear. All the declare.
Okay, so I took out the exception, and then I got exact fetch returns more than requested number of rows, and so.
Actually, no, dude, I got a different error this time. No data found.
Your donor table might be empty.
Or did you change the? Well, you kept the same as mine. I don't know.
It's Asher says declare. And it says error at line one, no data file. Why do I always get to get the latest of errors?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's why I put mine up there, is so you can look at it and see where you are off.
That was the exact same.
Yeah, it's the same. It's got to be the donor table.
Look at the donor table.
Come to find out the donor table, then.
I'd be so. No, I don't think I have anything. No, if your goal is...
It should show multiple.
Oh, dude, I don't have an ID number greater than 7777.
No, but that's
less than.
This is less than now.
We're looking for less than.
This is a less than. Change it to greater than, which is what I was going to say next, and that should get you the other error.
Oh, yeah, see, I have greater than.
I think you're doing hundreds of thousands rather than, like, we're in 70,000s, and you got hundreds of thousands for the donor table, and that's why.
So if I change this to now have the greater than...
Exact fetch return more than requested numbers.
No,
okay, got it?
Yeah.
Or rather, no, it doesn't work.
You know what it was, dude? Mine was greater than... Wait,
no.
Mine was greater than, but it needed the less than. So my sign was short.
So there's the no data found when I change the less than to a greater than.
Okay.
I've got the no data found. Is that what you got?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So when I change the less than to a greater than, yeah, now I have the no data found.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that was those two. So those were the list of predefined Oracle errors, and if you go and look them up, you can find the lists of predefined Oracle errors that you can put in to catch things, and to, if you want to process a certain way, if you want to write the ones in an error to another file, whatever it is you want to do, you can put in the processing a certain way in there. Okay. On the next one, this is a subtle difference. These are non-predefined errors, but the error code is there. So I went and looked up error code 2291. So if you look up error code 2291, okay, it then gives you the information about that message. Okay, so you can go and read about the 2291. And it's basically integrity violated a parent key not found. So it has to do with parent and child. And so if I look at it, whatever. When you encounter the following message will appear, cause you tried to reference a table using a unique or primary key. The columns you listed did not match the primary key, or the primary key does not exist for that table, da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. So. Did I actually get a picture of that? Because it went off to La La Land. Okay, so here I've got, and I printed out what the message that I got. And that is the message for message 2291. And they put a minus in front of it. Or a hyphen, Oracle hyphen 02291. So in my code now, I said, all right, I'm going to set up an exception. And I am going to call this exception E invalid order number. Okay, so that's my name for the exception. And then I say, okay, this pragma exception INIT. Okay, that's Oracle's way of saying I'll go look it up for you, basically. And what I tell it is I want E invalid order number related to 2291. Okay, so if 2291 comes up, it is going to be E invalid order number. Then down under exceptions, I write, when E invalid order number, then foreign key problem, no order number on orders. Okay, so I gave a very explicit message. And I said, if this occurs in this program, it's a foreign key problem, and there's no order number on the orders file.
So an exception is basically like the fallback.
Yeah, it's a problem. Yeah. It's something that's gone wrong. But this lets me handle the exception as opposed to having Oracle do it its way. I get to do it my way.
Instead of getting an error number, you already kind of know what the error is.
Right. Okay. So I got very specific on this one and said foreign key problem, no order, and then I have when others... and undefined error could. So if I get a different error. But this one, when I ran, okay, I put in, and I didn't have it, so it came back and said, foreign key problem, no order number on orders. So it came back and gave me that error. And I don't think I have an auto line on this. DESC odd line. No, it doesn't exist, so we can't go in and experiment with that. Okay. So, one of them is predefined errors. The other is they've given you a code that Oracle can come back with, and you can use that code to basically set up the error. Then the third way of doing this is totally up to you. You can set up the error. Okay? So on this one, I said, okay, I'm going to have an exception that I'm going to call enum ordered over 2,000. 200 rather. So that's the name of the exception, and I use that name down when I call, when I check under exceptions. I say when that error occurs, then this is the processing I want to do. And again, I'm just putting out a line, okay, and said the number orders exceeds 200, use a range error. So I decided that I didn't want to order anything more than 200. If somebody placed an order, I didn't want it for anything, any number higher than 200. So how I do that is in the code, under begin, I say if the number ordered is greater than 200, then raise this error. Okay, so if it's greater than that, then raise this error. And so that's an error that I have defined. That's not a misuse of Oracle error. The other twos have been misuses of Oracle. This has been when I want to validate, from 256, you know this well, when I want to validate the data, and I decided the validating I wanted to do is the number audit could not exceed 200. So then I put in the raise, and it will raise that error. And then the exception, because I set up that error as an exception, it comes out here and says it exceeds 200, okay, user range error. Okay. So those are the three kinds of exceptions that I can have, and I can mix and match them. I can have them all under there. So I could have had one from each of these categories, or two from each. I can have a whole range of exceptions if I want to put them in. Okay. Questions? Okay, then that last one is, again, I'm raising an error. But this time, I can also, if it's an other, I am going to ask for more details. So there are two things I can have. I can have the SQL code and the SQL error message. So whenever something occurs, I get a SQL code and an SQL error message. So instead of the undefined error, which I wrote in all of these before, I can just say, when others occur. Okay, when that one occurs, I will have number order exceeds 200. If other occurs, I want to get the SQL code and store it as the error code. I want to get the SQL error M, error message, and store that as the error message. And I want to write out the line, undefined error, and put out the code and the thing so that I can then go into undefined error is a totally frustrating thing. Okay, don't tell me undefined error. But this means that I will now get the code and the message from Oracle, and I can go and look up that code and find out what it's all about. So when I run this, okay, I got the whatever, 2291, and I said integrity restraint, so it gives me the fact that undefined error 2291, and then it gives me the Oracle message, which was it's an integrity constraint violated, panic key not found. Okay. And again, when I set these up, I was using Scott and Tiger, which is what Oracle provided as the username and password. So this isn't under my name, it's under Scott, and the password for Scott was Tiger. Okay, that went faster than I thought it would. So you get 10 minutes. And we are done. We will move on to procedures, functions, and triggers next week. And the one I skip, which is records and types. But I, as I said, I have an example on that that I want to bring in. So I'm not going to go back and do it in the 10 minutes. So we've got to look at procedures, functions, triggers, and that will give you at least a week and maybe a little bit more at the end of getting caught up time. All righty, we're done.